Few years that lead to this present moment of time. And when I look back and I could see the hand of God dealing with me, picking up some messages, that when I look at it, it seems it's so timely. I think about 2017, 2018, or somewhere around that, I have this series called The Talk and the Walk. You remember? The Talk and the Walk. And then we had the Book of Acts as well. And then I think that when the pandemic started, we had this on the prepare for what is coming. Now, of the last few days, I do not know whether you are conscious of what's going on around this world. It just shows that we are not far from the coming of the Lord. I just cannot see how the Lord can tarry for another decade. Just not possible. You know. And just a few days ago, if you follow the news, Israel have killed and destroyed one commander. They are very smart. They use deception against the Palestinian or these jihadist people. I mean, they are not just the Hamas, it's more, there are about a dozen of those groups, you know. But they group together, they want to attack Israel, but they all have their own ideology, like Christianity, you have the Methodist, the Baptist, and whatever you have. But they will group together the ecumenical movement to attack Israel. And you know, God always have a way of protecting Israel. You know, when that terrorist group started firing all those rockets, I think about 400 or more rockets across Gaza, from Gaza into Israel to destroy them. And of course, Israel had the what do you call that? What dome?
Iron Dome.
Yeah, Iron Dome. And many of those rockets, the enemy shoot up, fall back onto themselves. I mean, that's so ridiculous. I mean, maybe they say it was the technology is not high enough, not of highest standard. You know. And well, one of the things is there right now is that Russia, Turkey, and Iran, all within a downward assault after Israel targeted and killed the commander, they all started to speak against Israel. Now, we are not far from home, because what we see in the Bible is, you know, the allied army in the north of Israel. We're talking about Gog and Magog and all the allies. You have Turkey, you have Iran, you have Egypt even, and you have Yemen and all this, Libya, all this. And we're not far from having a war coming up. And because of that, when I see this, I see also the climate change, the climate thing that's happening now. And it's so scary. I just unbelievable. The forest fire, the destruction, the flooding, and crop being destroyed. Just in many places. In China, the places that many of the, you know, places are flooded, and even the town were destroyed. So just think of what's going on. And now we have the issue with this Nancy Pelosi. I mean, what's wrong with the American? I'm saying this, America watching this, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell the truth. That spirit of Americanism, that's why I'm telling people, we're not against the citizens of America, we are against that spirit. Whenever the Bible talked about the peace, about whatever, you know, the principality of all this, we're talking about the fallen angels that control the territory that actually move the people against God's people, against Israel, against one another. You see, then we have in Persia, we have Turkey, we have the king of the north, and also we have the spirit over in China, that the dragon, we call that the dragon. We have the bear over in Russia, we have the eagle in America, so far, but which looks actually not eagle, they want the eagle symbol instead of the bison. So we have all that spirit. And when we look at what America is doing, Pelosi came over to Taiwan, as you know, and then what's the purpose of that? And who is suffering? The Taiwan people are suffering. Because China is no longer going to be bullied anymore. That's why they cut off communication line. Russia, America could not get through to them. Whether they want to talk to Xi presidency or some big commander in China, they will not get through. And that's the way they have to operate. Because why? They're getting tired of all this bullying. And we are in a stage where, as the Bible says, in the end time, sins will be more abound. People get more wicked and more evil. And where sins abound, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in the life of His people. And we need to be very, very thankful we are living in this hour. That when we see this thing, as the Bible says, when you see all these things come to pass, what do? Look down? Or you look up? Look up, where your redemption draws nigh. And we're not far from home. You know? So when I was thinking about these things, and, you know, what we have been preaching, what we have been sharing, and also Brother Paul, and Jimmy, and Brother Bratzi, and whoever was sharing, some of the things that you all share, I mean, it was so timely, you know, what was being said, what was being shared. You know, even Brother Rollins, it was quite a blessing. You know, I watch your Friday, you know, don't think I'm not looking at it. Alright? And I want to say this, as in the last week, a lot of things happened to me in my body, and I just want to say this. It comes to this point in time that something is going on in my body that there are lots of pain, okay? A pain that you do not know how to describe. It's not like you're having a backache or you're getting a very bad pain that you know how to deal with it. This pain comes in jet form. You can just be there one moment, you get a jab like that, and it's, and then one or two jabs, and it's just very, very unpleasant, and you want to make you vomit. It's very nauseating. And that was last week, and I was thinking, okay, what is going on in my body now? There are two things I want to say. There are two things. One is that the growth, that tumor, the cancer, whatever you want to call it, is getting bigger. Or two, it is swelling up and is dying. Two things. Because it's an unknown fact that there are people who have cancer And when they were under treatment, whatever treatment they're going on, he said when the cancer died, they really feel a lot of pain. And that's one of the signs of that pain. So I was looking at that, and I was talking to the Lord. I said, well, Lord, I cannot say anything more because I already talked to you already. You already know about it. I just want to have a sign. And you know what? I just want to know how the Lord lead me. I'm praying for Him to lead me. And you know what happened last Sunday? Brother Joshua was leading the song, and I was standing here singing that song. That song was, Teach Me, Lord, to Pray. You know, we sing the song so many times, but when I was standing there singing, and when it came to that verse, you know, Teach Me, Lord, to Pray, down on my knee, do in your own good time, you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do. When I come to that sentence, it's, oh, okay. Teach me not to rely on what others do. And it hits me, you know, because I'm trying to deal with this evil that tried to get onto me. And of course, I already told you that when they did the colonoscopy and that was terrible, I said, I'm not going to fall into the hands of man. I'm going to fall into the hands of God. I'm going to live to Him. Okay? And then I came back, of course, and I started to do some research on, I know that the body can heal itself. Because God created this body. God has put mechanism in the body to deal with it. You see, only thing that many times that whether it's abuse because we eat a lot of wrong stuff or the pollution of the world, and which of course, that's why there's pollution in food, pollution in the air, a lot of food, there's a lot of nitrate, no, whatever thing that they have, we just enjoy eating, we don't think about it. And it happened that some people's cells just decided to turn radical. And then start to, you know, mutate in its own form, you know, and not according to what the body is supposed to do. They turn radical, like, you know, radical, fanatic, religious group people, you know, they turn radical and start to fight against those who are the truth. So, you know, I began to look into research and see how to deal with it. Because I asked, Lord, you give me the wisdom. I'm giving my life into your hand. I'm not going to fall into the hands of man. You know. So I checked this and do that. Okay. And then some brothers, some sisters overseas, they know what was going through. They sent me some information how to deal with it. They give me some information about supplement and some herbs and things like that. So I read it up and all that. So there are so many different kind of different things that helps actually to combat and try to reverse all this radical thing that is happening in the body. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that when we have some kind of maybe like inflammation or we have sinuses and then we have to, you know what to take, warm like lemon juice, warm, you know, things like that to reverse it, stop it, something like that. So I was trying to follow them, and then come to a stage where I was so frustrated because, I mean, there's so many things. How do I follow it? You know, there are times that I can't. You know, I try to time myself to do it. And you know, when you take a certain supplement, you're gonna give time not to mix with the other supplement, a space at least 2 hours. You know, so it becomes quite a problem. And when I have to pick up Adam, you know, from school on Thursday, I have to change the whole schedule. You know, I was kind of, oh man, this thing like that. So, but then of course, I really tried to relax. Okay, leave it to the Lord and don't have to be so what do we call, what was the song again? Not to rely on what others do. Others have this, this is what doctors do, okay? This is what the TCM decision do for you. They'll tell you how it's being done. So when I sing that song that last Sunday, that it helped me to understand. The Lord was kind of telling me, don't rely so much on that. You know? And that was last Sunday, and then from that night on, the whole body started to have a lot of pain here and there. And it's very uncomfortable. It's really very, very uncomfortable. You know, there's somebody pinch you. They pinch you like a skin. Something happened on the outside. I mean, I wonder why is it on my you know, abdomen. Like somebody pinching you. You know how terrible it is to pinch somebody pinching you. It's not comfortable. You know, and sometimes it's just a jab inside there. You know, and sometimes there's a dark egg right there in the iliac crest. And I was wondering if the tumor is up on the left side just behind the ribcage. Why is that the pain is on the iliac crest? And sometimes I have this lower abdominal discomfort. And then sometimes it just remains silent. Comfortable. No problem. You know, so I just want to let you know that I know some of the brothers and sisters here and overseas encourage me, give me Bible quotes, you know, where to treat the other girl like Christ in the midst, where to can agree in the Word of God that, you know, you ask and it shall be granted and so on, you know. Yes, I believe in all that. We all believe that. You all believe that? You believe in me and you pray together with me and pray for me. I know that many of them overseas are praying for me. And I said, Lord, I got a lot of believers praying for me. I mean, they treasure the ministry. And I talk to the Lord many times and I can't see they get up because of the fear. And I go, I talk to the Lord. I said, Lord, what now? You know, if you want to take me home, take me home. Otherwise, there is something for me that I need to do. Let me do it. Let me finish it. You know, and before this thing happened, before all this thing happened in the last few months, I have this one particular book that I want to teach on. And that is on the book of the Philippians. And the title of the message I want is called Contentment and Joy. And this is a book that I was thinking about, okay, now is the time for me to deal with it, share it, teach it. And at the same time, you may understand what Paul is going through and why Paul was so contented and why he was in great joy. And each time when I think about the pain that I'm going through, I think about Paul. I don't know, my mind is always going to Paul, what Paul went through. And you know how old Paul was? When he became a believer, when he became a Christian? Huh? He was young. You know, he was... when Christ was crucified, Paul knew about Christ. But he was a student of Gamaliel. And he became a believer roughly about 4 years after the death of Christ. So he was going around, you know, 25... all these Christians, as you know. He was very zealous for the Lord. He was a Pharisee. And that's what Paul was like. And how old do you think Paul was when he died? He was around 34 years old, I would believe, or 30 years around that, 30, 34 years old. Because you know the calendar problem. We know the calendar. Some people did BC, and then BCD, and then AD, and all that stuff. So, that's a lot. So the thing is that we said about 30 or 34 years old. Alright? Maybe a difference of 2 to 4 years, you know, around then. And he died at the age of about 60 years old. Think about it. 60 years old he died. He died a martyr. And he's alive that, I mean, of all the prophets, I mean, the apostles in the Bible, I mean, I'm not talking about prophets of all, about the apostles in the Bible, the one that stands up the most is Paul. We always think of Paul. I mean, next, of course, is Peter, right? That's all we know, huh? You see? The reason why we know Paul so well is because 14 books were written by Paul in the Bible. Huh? Of all the 27 in the New Testament, 14 were written by him. You see? So, you can see, just imagine the person that he was. So tonight, let us go into the book. Then after that, we have prayer and then we have our communion. Alright? That's a word of prayer. Gracious, let's all stand up together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Oh, we thank you for joy and unspeakable and full of glory. Whatever be, Father, in this world today, we know, Father, that no good news. Whatever is going on out there, Father, it just all the problems and all the unrest and all the evil and the wickedness that's been done out there, Father. But this, a prophetic thing that you spoke of, and this thing must come to pass. And you said, let our heart not be troubled. And we believe in God, we believe in Christ, Father, and then that's all we need. We thank you, Father. So tonight as you approach the word, Lord, we ask for that blessing. That you break down the word of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see. Alright, go to the book of Philippians. I don't have any particular piece of paper or note with me. I just that this Philippians is one of my one books that I really love, because this is the only book that don't talk about doctrine. Alright? Philippians is the only book that don't talk about doctrine. It's basically about one thing. Being contented. And being filled with joy. Now a little bit on the background, you know, Philippians is of course, not Philippines, huh? When I was younger those days, I got confused with Philippines, or Philippines, you know, Philippines. So I was a bit confused over that. Okay, Philippians are the people who live in Philippi, which is in Macedonia, and Paul went over there and ministered the word there. And it is a Greek city, second only to, I think they would say, like Rome. Alright? So Paul went there and ministered, and so he had a congregation of people, a group of converts. And his relationship with them is very close. It's the only book that he mentions so much about the way he mentioned relate to them. Alright? And there's only four chapters in this book. Now, when Paul wrote this epistle to the believer in Philippi, he was actually in prison. And of course, history, sometimes the theologians argue and try to trace whether which prison was he in. Whether he was kept a prisoner in Rome or was it in Ephesus. You know, but majority believe that he was in Rome under house arrest. And so he was there. And he was there for about 2 years. And he wrote this epistle to the Philippines, the believers there. Alright, so let us read with chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now one other thing about when you study epistles, especially Paul's epistle, you notice one thing: he always identifies himself as who he was, and then he will always add somebody else, like Timothy with him, or Silvanus with him, or Barnabas, you know. So because when he went on a journey, he always would pick one of those disciples of his, that he will go together. So here he mentioned Timothy. Though of course Timothy was not with him in prison. Okay, but those believers in Philippi knew Timothy, so that's why he mentioned this. And of course, he greeted them, the believers in Philippi, with those and the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of Paul's signature greeting as well: grace, 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 grace. And I think that there's nothing more important to Paul and to every one of us, and that is grace. That is the only thing that we need. They say, "Well, Barnabas, what about mercy?" Let me tell you something: without grace, what mercy is there? It is grace that gives you mercy. It is grace that gives you love. Grace that gives you faith. Grace, you know, grace. Well, it's something that you know. How would you define grace? Something that you don't deserve to. He give it to you. You know, he called you. You know. And that is something, that's why we sing the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Without the grace given us, I don't think we'll be here tonight. I don't think we will ever believe in Christ. Huh? I mean, if we take Paul for example, if it was not grace of God that met him on his road to Damascus, why would Paul be here? Paul would not be around. He would not have Paul's epistle. He would be some rascal, well known in history for killing Christians. And that's how wonderful, when you think about it, I always wonder, why did God choose Paul? You know, you know what I'm saying? Why did he choose Paul? And give him this gospel. And yet we also know that God chose Judas Iscariot. But yet he said to the disciples, I choose you all, and one of you is the devil. So everything is God chosen. So for all this we know, everything that's happening in the world today is known to God. Nothing escapes God. So we can rest assured the amazing grace that God gave us will see us through. He chose us, he will see us through. God doesn't do a job half done. Right? And so he said, once saved, always saved. I believe that. Salvation cannot be taken away from you. The only thing that can take away salvation is you yourself threw it away. Right? That's what Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Once a taste of a heavenly thing, experience all the wonderful things, see the miracles of God, experience the Holy Spirit and all the realm of the supernatural, and then fall back. Fall back. Why would a person fall back? Because from some other thing. Some other thing. What other? Some other thing. Many of the preachers who experience all that, many of them fall back to what? To filthy lucre. For all those monetary gains, for all popularities. That's what grace offers. Grace, gratitude, and peace. Of course, secondly, of course, with grace comes peace. If God gives us grace, you know, the Lord Jesus, and there's no peace, then what's the use? And in this book of Philippians, this epistle, Paul's been particularly talking about contentment. Be contented and so, peace, when we have peace. You know, if you're not contented, can you have peace? Obviously you don't, you can't. Huh? Like some of these, sports in the world, whether it be boxing, wrestling, or whatever, football, and you know how they fight, sometimes they go into an ugly, rowdy, and then they fight, you know. The thing is, they are not contented. And here we are as a believer, we should be contented about it, because when we are contented with what we have received from Christ, God, the gospel, and when Christ gives us His Holy Spirit, and we are born again, then we must be at peace. The Holy Spirit gives us that peace. No matter what storm may rage, or the storm may, you know, sing, you know, my soul may be torn. And there, in the center of that eye of the storm, there's the calmness, the peace. He holds us in His hand. And we should not have fear. And this is the thing that I have learned over the years in my experience. Wow. You know, when I was young, when I was in denomination, I was a teenager, I was very active for the Lord. Took a pile of tracts. If you have looked into the Facebook, my Facebook, what you call that, Facebook blog, what you call that, account, whatever that is, you will see photographs. There was black and white. That was published by Concordia Tract in America. When I was then as a teenager, I was still in school and then going to work. I wrote to them for tracts. They print tracts. So they sent me a whole lot of tracts. And I took a bag, put a track, and I go out there in the hospital to witness. I go out in the pub, botanic garden, on the streets, shopping shops, you know, on the shops that you have, 5 foot away shop. At that time, I remember, you hardly had more. And I witness. And I teach young people there, and of course, how to be witness for the Lord. We pray every night, Monday night, and then after a weekday, so we have time. Or special school holiday, whatever, we go out. Public holiday, we go out. Witness it. I was very active for that. At that time, of course, in the teen, and I grew up to be 30 years old in the ministry. I'm not emotional. Never was. Full of energy. And I believe Paul at that time, when he was in the 30s, was full of energy. But when he went through a lot of rust patches in his life. And then when he was in prison in Philippi, in Rome, wow, I guess it seems that he feels like giving it up. So there's a lot of thing changes in our, age when you grow up? Your own life, your own lifespan, or your journey in your life, you know, from teen to young adults, from young adults to older adults to senior to ape gong, you know, all the grandpa and all that. So you find that, as Shakespeare would say, the seven stages of man. When you come to the seven stages, as Shakespeare would say, some teeth. Some teeth means no teeth. Some teeth means no eye, no eye, cannot hear, some ear or hearing all gone. You know, you're old, you're going back to babyhood, and then you become more emotional. You know, baby, little bit natural, temporal, tender, the emotions. Like that. So I realized that Paul, even when he was 60 years old, in his 60s, after he was released from prison, he was in a prison for about 2 years, and then he was released 2 years, and after that he went back to Rome, and then there he was arrested again, and he was martyred. At the age of about 64 years old. You know. And so, when we look at what the Bible tells us, when Paul was experiencing, talk about the peace. And I realized how important. And with my life that I've been journeying on, you know, and I believe every one of you, you're not calling to this in the ministry, but in your life, you all have your journey with the Lord. Right, Sister Lucy? Your journey with the Lord. And you have your own experience. Sometimes you make errors, you make mistakes in life. I mean, God knows all things, what you're going to do, what you go through. That's why He's helping you. Hold my hand, Lord, hold my hand. For I'm a child of the Lord. I don't know everything. You are the Father. And you know, like a kid, just like my Adam. Sometimes he thinks he knows me, knows more than the adults. Yeah? And I think the same thing with Hazel too, huh? I mean, kids, right? They're like, yeah, I know, okay. And that's the thing about it, because we grew up from one standard of primary school, secondary school. Each year you cross, you gain some knowledge, and you think that you know better than those who are older than you. Sometimes it may be so, because you have some insight, but not all the time. You see, so the life journey, our life journey is just the same. Paul went through all that. And so here, remember, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now that's Paul's thanksgiving. Telling very frankly to the Philippians, believer, I thank my God upon every remembrance of when I always think of you. What was Paul thinking of them? What was Paul thinking of them? Let's see what Paul here said. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests, I make requests for you with joy in the Lord. Well, then was something special. Whenever he remembered the believer in Philippi, he bring prayers to the Lord and always pray for them with joy in him. Now, I hope that your prayer in your life is not a burden. Yeah, time to pray again now. Do you find it a chore to pray? Paul considered it a joy to pray for this Christian. Yeah. And I said one time, I mean, so many times, if you could not save God, but, I've been pushed up at night. Only thank God that last 2 days I slept okay. But most of the time I slept over the last few weeks, I've been sleeping only about 4 hours around that. You know, after sleep for 1.5 hours or so, get up, 25 hours, get back to sleep. You know, and then my mind is working here and there. You know, and what do I was thinking? You know, you're going to say your mind is overactive. That's when you can say, Spirit, get up. And you can get up and kneel on the bed there and pray. You know, even though the pain is not good, you got to get up and pray, and then you just pray. And I think it's one of the things that Paul has, he prayed with joy. The reason why there was joy is because he treasured his believers. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, Bible said pray for one another, right? We should treasure one another. It's true. If we treasure one another, we can really pray for one another with joy. Oh Lord, bless the brother, bless the sister. Right? Even those that, let me say this. In over the years, we have brother and sister in this fellowship, come and go, come and go. And you know, some of them laugh because, well, they don't agree with something. Like I said one time that, I don't mention the name, it's an S steward. He laughed and he told me that, I asked him, why are you leaving? Because my concern is when somebody leaves, I want to know why they left, why they are leaving. Oh, nothing, brother Glenn. I want to fellowship with the other groups. Are you sure? There's nothing? No, nothing. So when he went at dawn, a few weeks later, and Sister Aggie came in too, told me, he met me on the road and told me that, you know why I liberal against church? Because I don't agree with marriage and divorce. I told you that. Because he didn't believe me. You see, that's insincerity. That's insincerity. I care for him. I care for the people. And here we have father and sister and just many of them are left. Do you know? I text them. I call them. They refuse to answer the phone. And sometimes when I was able to get them, I want to talk to them. They look at me, don't talk about it. I don't talk about it. Why? It just when they look at me, I don't talk about it. Drop dead for again. You know, when you're silent, it's like that. I have concern for you. Just tell me the truth. Why? And I appreciate it. You see, Paul had a concern for the people. Not just those in Philippi, but those in Corinthians. Do you know how much trouble he had to go through to get these Corinthian people to come to understanding? They got so calm. And that's what hurts me the most. When you know brothers and sisters in the fellowship for so many years, they see another ministry, they learn something for years, and then with disrespect, they treat me like dirt. But that's okay. I know Paul went through the same, Peter went through, all the ministers of God went through, the prophets of old went through the same. Servants of God are just like what we call whatever the target is when you throw things at that thing, you know. Much swinging, whatever. Somebody that you take your frustration upon. Throw a frustration on. When you don't like it. You know, my friend, I told you about the one, P.O. I don't want to mention the name, but you know him when I say it. And my Presbyterian friend, my friend, who came to the message with me in the Grace Assembly of God. We both laughed and we started the ministry together. But then when he met a woman who, well, happened to be later on became his wife, and she being a Presbyterian, she began to question against when we Brother Bram spoke, and he said, why is it Brother Bram contradicting himself, this. So he loves her more than he loved the world. So he began to question her. So the same. So when he questioned her, he said, I tell Brother Bram, attack me. Now, many years went by. He'd been attacking. He wrote messages. He printed it and he sent it to me. And he wrote an article and then he teach it in the prison and share with others too. Wow. And he used very harsh word. Twisting my word, do not understand what I was saying, and then spoke against it. And I reasoned with him. I reasoned with him many times. I cared for him. He was my convert. I brought him to the Lord. Remember one time I told you, we were working in a Woodbridge hospital, mental hospital. He knew me, and people in the hospital called me Father Gun, Rubber Gun, Long Shot Gun, whatever gun. And you know what? One day when I met him, he asked me, show me God, now I believe. I took the challenge. I said, okay. When you are on night duty, when you have finished your duty, patient went to sleep. He probably around 11 o'clock or so. Okay, just get out the house, just get out the ward, go outside the field. You know, in the middle hospital, there's always a field. In those days, this hospital no longer exists. You go outside, just look up. And you tell me next time you see me, there's God. And a week or so later, when I met him along the corridor, hey, come. It's this one. Yeah, there's God. Tell me about the gospel. I serve with him around the gospel. You see, and yet, something took a hold of him and he fought against me. All those years, time and time again, that was in 1970, I would say around 74, he left and started to fight against me. And then what happened? All those years, I still have all his article, all his questioning, all his argument, and I presented back to him. That's why the book Logos was written. The book, Logos improved on it, because Logos was written when I left the denomination church. And then the Serpent Seed book was the original sin. Yeah, that one was the more he argued and questioned, twisted, I presented, and all the book grows, become quite thick. But you know, the COVID came. 2020 came to Singapore. I think it was last year, 2021, that he called me on the phone. He called me on the phone. Hey, is it Richard? I said, yes. Peter here. Yeah. Ah, how are you? You know, I want to apologize. I really want to apologize to you, Richard. I've been very harsh to you, I've been saying all kinds of things against you. Please forgive me.
My, that brought me joy. I never thought that he would apologize. And you come to think of it, he has gone from Pentecostal to the message, from the message back to Pentecostalism and back, and then to the Presbyterian Church. He apologizes. And yet we have anti-message preacher who did all the things against me, twisting my word, well-known preacher in America who knew me. My, trying to let them see the thing and try to explain to them that I didn't do it. This is not what I said, but you have misunderstood. And they know it's true, but no apology, nothing. And yet continue to pick up other things which is too, which more twisted. And people who do not know me because they believe on this American white man, they came out and attacked me too. You see how this whole thing is? I think Paul have the same problem. We have Paul said about false brethren. And there are those that are troublemakers. And then I think Paul went through that. And I can relate to it. And all the years I prayed for my friend too, Paul. I prayed for him. I know he had been so messed up because you know when you go back to denomination, what do you expect to get? Huh? Like a doctor was saying, you know, I mean, the doctor, not doctor of theology, but doctor of medicine, an oncologist. He made one statement which I already told you about it. He said, it is not the seed, it is the soil. Oh, I like that statement. It's, you know, we think that, well, my grandfather don't have cancer, my father don't have cancer, my great-grandfather don't have cancer, means I couldn't get cancer. He said, that's not true. And he said, in his study, he found that a group of Chinese from China in a village, they are all very healthy people, they have history, no history of cancer. They migrate to America and live in California. Within the second generation, the children all get all kinds of diseases. Cancer, diabetes, and whatever not. He said, it is not the seed, it is the soil. Where you are planted. Where are we planted, brother and sister? Why are we planted? The Word! The soil of God! If we are planted in the denomination, so what do you think you become? Huh? You are planted in the Catholic soil, what do you expect? If you are planted in Anglican soil, what do you expect? Because that is the soil, that is what provides the nutrient. If you go to a commercial farm, they use all kind of chemical to pour into the plant, huh? For the plant to feed on. What are you eating? They ain't organic. Not even natural. They are all kinds of chemical to it. So it's not the seed, it is the soil. Whatever seed you may be, right? Not very healthy seed, or very pure seed, very healthy seed. When those two different kinds of seed, or three different, any kind of seed, natural good seed, but it has some defect, plant it in the right soil, you will get the right nutrient. That's what it is. Alright, let's continue now. Paul said in verse 4, always in my every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That is true. I thank God, Paul said. I thank God I prayed for you with joy from the very first day that I knew you, you knew me, when you came to the truth until right now. Right. Be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Christ will keep us. It doesn't mean that we will not die.
You understand what I mean? Huh?
But that he will keep us.
Remember the prayer once, the Lord's Prayer. Keep us from evil, from the evil one. Yes.
Evil one will come and attack, but he will give us strength to keep away from him. And we need to be kept away from this evil one.
But sometimes, you know, we tend to go our own way and we just enter into a place that we shouldn't go to.
True. I have seen many, you know, confessions of young people who got themselves into trouble and end up in drug center.
Rehab.
Or end up in prison. Why? They said they came from a family who is church going. But when they were in school, they, you know what you call peer pressure.
Everybody smoke, you smoke. Like I tell you one time, you know, I don't smoke. But you know, I was in a secondary school. So I went to a theater, you know, back in those days, the theater is 50 cents. You sit in the front row. And the front row, the cheap skate people sit down there. And here was this young Indian fellow, I was in my teen years, sat next to me before the film started. He was smoking. In those days, you smoke. You all know that in the theater, they smoke? In those days? No, you don't know. Huh? So he took out and he looked at me. You want one? Yeah, I said, okay. Say, you're not macho. You know, you act like, okay, you know, yeah, I'm with this thing. you think about it, and you know, we got trapped into that. I was alone. You know, and he was with his friend. They want one, yeah, take one. Of course, I didn't suck it in. I just rolled it up. You see, and then you can see how that some of these Christian young men and young woman, family of Christian, got caught up in this problem. And then what happened? They went out there and they did all these things, the drug, and then the sex or whatever, and then maybe even stealing, and accidentally killed somebody, end up in prison. Sadly.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 10:13. Let's go to that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul here said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let me show you that here I have this a plug. Yeah, I think I bought it as a picture from a glass or something. It was back when I was. That was in 1970, I think. Okay, you see the block? Of course, this thing over down there is from Lebanon. When I was there, there's a cedar wood tree. But the block here, it has always been with me since 1970, in the 1970s. And it has stayed with me for all these years. The Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me, but he has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it were an attack of an enemy, by the time it reaches me, it has the Lord's permission. And therefore, all is well. He will make it work together for all life's experiences for good. Huh? It was in the paper then I pasted on a cupboard and onto a kind of plywood or something, and then I sorted out and carried with me. We moved from home, house, apartment to apartment, and just still, it was still in my room.
Alright. So, what Paul is saying is the same. In 1 Corinthians 13, you know. Whatever the Lord allows, He knows that we will be able to bear it. Even though we don't like it, but it's part of our trial. I mean, you know, as I said many times, we said many times, but which is a famous kind of a slogan or words when the African people, they were taken slave and things happened to them. Why me, Lord? I have several records, some, you know, of African singer, gospel singer, one under Mahala Jackson. They sing a song. Why me, Lord? How come me here? How come me here? How come I'm here in this situation? How come me here? In this place? In this condition? How come me here? We ask ourselves that question. Now, did I ask myself the question? Why me? Why should I have this in me? Why do I have that tumor in me? Why me? The question is, why not me? Why not me? Why must be somebody else? And I said, God forbid it. Don't let anything of this sort fall upon my people here, Lord. You know, I never realized how terrible it is to carry it, to feel the pain. Because I have this plaque in my home, I always remember the time when I went to La Paz, came back with herpes. Why me, Lord? Why did I get this? Why did I deserve this? And even the doctor don't want to tell me online. A doctor online was supposed to answer your question. When I tell me, I ask him, what is that? He doesn't want to tell me what he wants. He said, refer me to a link. No one will look at the link and say, what? Herpes simplex. It's mostly gotten out by sexual effect, sexual activities. What? And then as you read down, it says, 1% of those who get it, got it because of low oxygen to the brain, to the body, when they go up to the high mountain. That's why when I was in La Paz that night, I couldn't sleep, the head was... Oh my, there's an ache in there that you cannot shake. It's a painful. I bed until the morning. Went down to the the pharmaceutical store next to the hotel. They speak Spanish. I don't know Spanish. I went in there. Panadol, pain, pain, pain. The woman looked at me. Ah, sirochi, sirochi. I said, no, pain, pain. Hey. Well, you give me a mountain sickness. You know. Then I got no money. I says, I throw out my key to the hotel next door. So, okay. I said, come back. So when I went out, I met pastor who came and asked him to pay for it because I don't have Spanish store. And the hotel should provide the drug free. And I realized that a lot of people later on came back and found that a lot of people who our lowland dwellers went up to the mountain and not prepared for it. Many of them came back with a lot of headaches, some now even break up the herpes. And my herpes was so bad. And they said there's no cure for it. All he did was paying about $100+ for 1 week of tablet to soothe your pain and soothe your discomfort. And after that, it's okay. It subsided because it would normally subside after a week. And then he started getting under stress. You have never seen it. Jimmy, only Jimmy and brother Jimmy and Albert Hong. The only one that saw it because brother Albert couldn't say, this looks okay. Then I decided to videotape it. And I showed it and I looked at it. My face just had been fouled with a sandpaper. To this day, I have some photograph of the burning thing because it's virus. It can never go away. Virus cannot be killed until the Lord shows me how to deal with it. Because I told the Lord, I cannot travel anymore. Under stress, it just blew up. That's what happened when I went to Sri Lanka on the plane. It blows up just like that. And I was prepared to get a cream to clean it up and then apply so that where the congregation cannot see me because they are a distant away. Wow! And I was saying, Lord, why do I have to go through all that thing? Sleeping in a bad hotel, dirty hotel, this and that, why? I mean, you know, realize, when I call you, not for the, not, you know, like some brother and sister last time said to me, in this fellowship, very good, you could, nice occupation, huh? You go out to other country, you know, you see other country. I mean, you get the chance to talk to other country. I said, look, brother, the sister, I said, I'm not on a vacation, you know. When I went overseas, I hardly even see any place. Yes, because it's a 5 days convention here, rest 1 day, fly out another part of Africa, three convention there, another place, then 2-3 weeks, come back home. Whatever you're trying to see, the only time I see is in the car, driving in the car, and the bronze, oh, this is what they did, that is the Lake Victoria. And this is Mount Kilimanjaro. And that's about it. And I realized one thing. This is the burden that God gives to me. And I have to do it. But I want to be like what Paul said. Let me just close with the next verse. Verse 6 of it. Being confident of this very thing that He which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I believe it. He started work in me, He's going to finish it. He started work in you, He's going to finish it. Whatever we go through, He's going to finish it. I'm praying for you, you're going to pray for me. As the Bible says, pray for one another. Edify one another. For the day is not far away with the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord. In this hour that we live in, Father, we are excited, Father, to see the return of Christ, all this prophecy fulfilled. In your word, things that are happening now in the Middle East, things that are shaping up, Father, in this earth is prevailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We thank you, Lord, for the hour that we live in. It is an exciting time. But a time, Father, where we have to be very watchful. Because you are children of light. Darkness should not just overtake us, Lord, if we are watchful and prayerful. For we know that there are many that are sleeping, Lord. For we commit, O Lord, our life to you. Guide us and teach us, O Father, to be wise. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We will have the communion. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a disciple with him, the Last Supper he ever took. And then, having washed his disciples' feet and sat back at the table, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. So, Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the night that Jesus Christ. Final farewell, Lord, to the disciple. The night that he had the last communion with the disciple of his, and he faced what is coming for him, Lord. And we are thankful for what he had done for us, instituting, O Father, this communion. The Lord, we can remember what He had done for us. And so had Jesus, our Lord, said, to break this bread, said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it, eat it, and do it in remembrance of me. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace. So now, Lord, bless this bread. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Paul, can you come? And, yeah. Brother Jimmy will use the cup. All right. Stand away. I hope I will break up a cup or something. Yeah. So, Father, thank you again, Lord, and for the cup of the covenant. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what it, you have done for us. The cup of the covenant, which is shed in thy by the blood. For the propitiation of our sin, we are thankful for it, O Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you.
We ask that you bless now, Father, this cup in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we will stand up. When you take the communion, then you will sit down. So we know. Let's have a song.
Your hands are cold, and sisters are
in. Shall we stand up this time? And let us pray for one another. What I want you to do, I'm going to pray for every one of you in this congregation. And I know that those brothers out there will be watching this video later on. And especially those, as I said, they sometimes look to me as the pastor and to feed them to give them knowledge of the Word. And I know they are praying for me. I'm not only having you, brother and sister, here. There are others out there that look to me for the truth and this ministry here. And I know many of them appreciate it and they've been praying for me. And I pray for you. Your brothers and sisters, in my time whenever, at night time, and things like that, and praying. You know, I see your faces. I always see your faces and remember you. And I remember those that I met overseas, and even though they came to the message, I've not met them face to face, except perhaps in a photograph at the sand, or, you know, hear their voice. And ministering to them, that was a real joy. So I'm going to raise my hand and pray for every one of you, and I want you all to raise your hand and pray for me at the same time. Right? I told the Lord, I'm not going anywhere. So I'm going to go with everybody here. You know? Because others are looking at me and they said, but again, if you go, where would we, who would we look to? And sometimes I wonder, you know, the Bible says when the smite the shepherd, he scattered the sheep. Sister Bree sent me, I think it was yesterday, he said, I woke up and saw this picture and I need to send it to you. Just remember, you know, just I was thinking of you, so I sent it to you. It was a picture of the Word, of course. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Sometimes you wonder, you know, in the apostolic ministry, the foundation of church is the ministry that the apostles are called to do. to lay the foundation. And you know my testimony and how the Lord gave me that call me into the apostle ministry, and then in the vision, I was called to receive my Christ. And people are asking, so why was he called to get to go to the first place? And the voice sounded from heaven, said, for the restoration of the foundation. And that was before, I mean, that was after all that, when I was called into the message, and then in 72, I think it was, when the word of the Lord came, I raise you up, you know, to raise up, stand up the word of God. In this region, there'll be a blessing to the people out there in the world. I mean, it may not be a big thing, because God is always dwelling in small things. Amen. Not a big 10,000 in a big crusade like in a charismatic churches. But to restore the word of God in the foundation. And I always thinking of that. So I see how the Lord have led me, and I believe every one of you, God have raised you up here too in the ministry of support, and those other brothers also to support the ministry. You know. And you can go, I cannot travel now. A brother Israel wrote me yesterday, I think it was. So Brother, we are very, I have printed so many thousand of your books in Khmer. And I've given out all to the churches out there in all the various provinces. And we need more books. I said, okay, tell me how much books you want, how many copies you want to print. Then we'll see what we can do. And only there are a lot of things changes. You know what happened now? The government there told you, well, you know, there's no more the kind of visa that you have, the NGO visa, whatever he called that. So now you have to change it to business visa. So the price went up. And there you have to apply for this form, fill this form, it comes up to, I don't know how many hundreds, US dollars. The world is changing. But the ministry has got to keep going, because he doesn't know what will change in the government in Cambodia, that he might be saying, please, don't be here anymore, go home. Then who's going to take over there? So he reached out to so many churches now. So we are going to help. We're going to print more books there for him. Yeah. And Brother Shedrack, over in India, he going out there to 10, 12 states in India, getting the message out to them. You know. Those in Uganda, Nigeria, South Africa, Brother Andrew P. in Zambia, Brother James in Zimbabwe, now they're having a convention there. There are God, things going to happen. People are, you know, we have only a short span of time. Short time, but the word must go out. Amen? Amen. So let us pray for them. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to pray for me. Raise your hand. Over there, you pray, alright? Let's just open our mouth and pray. Okay, pray with you out of your mouth. Open your mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray now for my people here, Lord. I pray for each and every one of them, Father. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for your grace, O Lord. Bless the people here. Bless every one of them, Lord. Bless them, O Lord Jesus. Whatever need, Father, they have in their home, Lord, as husband and wife and children, Lord, as family, Lord, every needs, Father, you supply, Father. Lord, I pray for that, Lord, all the blessings that you can bestow, Lord, Father, upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we know, Lord, you always be so good. Lord, and I pray, Father, let no bad things come upon them, Lord, I pray. Lord, what I'm going through, Father, let me just be, O Father. Lord, you have raised me up for that. You have put me in this situation. You have put me, Father, to bear this burden, Lord, to be a testing time, O Father, for me. Lord, as I suffer, whatever it may be, Father, your prayer and your purposes. Lord, let it be, O Father, as you wish, Father, I know. But who holds tomorrow is you, Father. You hold it. You hold me in your hand. And whatever, Lord, happens, that you allow it, O Father. You have your permission, and Lord, it must be, Father, that all good things will come out of it. And for my brother, my sister here, Lord, let everything be fine. Bless each and every one of them, Father. Bless them in strength, Father, in health. Yes, Lord. And wherever they go, bless them, O Father. Let your blessing flow to their life, Father. And they reach out, Father, all those around them, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father. Let their mouth be full of praises for you. Let their life, O Father, be a glory and a blessing to all those that come in contact with, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive all our trespasses that we have against one another. Lord, what happened in the past, O Father, take it all away. O Father, wash it under the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, Lord. And fill us, Father, with thy Holy Spirit. Fill us, O Lord, fill each and every one of them with the Holy Spirit of the living Christ. From day to day, Father, they walk in strength. Yes, Lord. And believe, Father, that we are going to see the coming of Lord Jesus Christ together. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless now, Father. Bless all tonight. Bless all tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I ask, Lord, bless everyone, Father. Bless all those who are here tonight, too, Father. Whatever the reason, Lord, I know many of them are, Lord, whatever they did. Prevent them from coming tonight. Nevertheless, bless them, Father. Lord, I ask for grace. Give us everyone, O Lord, wisdom. Wisdom. How about this sermon in our daily now? Father, I thank you. Bless all tonight, Father, as we dismiss from here. Whatever request we have, whatever thing that's in our heart, the Lord that we desire, according to thy will, Father, answer it, Lord. In your own good time, not our time, Father, in your time, the Lord, we all be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Bless the little one, Father. Bless all. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless every one of you. Amen. Well, see you next week, next Sunday. Okay? Amen.